Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a good Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve. Seth and I got some entertainment news coming up in a little bit. We'll get into some local events going on in our area and plenty more. But it is a Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. It is time for our Pet of the Week with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society. We got a good friend, Tim, here with us. And always good to have you in studio, man. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen.
We have been hearing from you a lot in the last couple of weeks. It's been a pretty, really, really busy couple of weeks for you guys. And I could just be talking about the shop. I could just be talking about the Humane Society. But the added work that you have had put on your plate with some of the things that have come up in recent weeks has only added to your long nights and long days. I'll be honest with the audience. I'll be honest with all of you. I promote this segment, especially if we don't have a sponsor. I promote this segment, but I don't necessarily say that you're going to be here because I don't want to put that on you because you have so much on your plate already, man. So when you are able to be here, it's awesome, but I don't put it on you because I understand how much is already on your plate, and I thank you for that. I thank you as a lover of this community, as somebody who cares about this community, cares about the animals in this community, and all of that. Appreciate the work you and that team over there are doing, man.
Right, we have a great team, and that's what it is. Big time. This is all team. There's no I here.
Is there any details you wanted to touch on right away before we get to our pet?
Not really. I think the pet is. I'm going to do the same thing. It's just not focus on one because we have over 100 again. We still do.
Yeah,
and we have. I don't even know the exact number, but we have a bunch of cats that are in foster, which means they're at somebody's house waiting to come to the shelter because there's no room. So I do want to stress again, the sale is still on.
Okay.
Any dog is $50, and now any cat is $25 only, and you can do a buy one, get one. So you can actually have two cats for $25.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it until we can get some room.
I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. I just a quick note on that too, and not to say that every shelter has this, but I know that the shelters I've worked at and talked to some people over the years over there at the Southwood County Humane Society. These cats, if you're adopting two from the same Humane Society, oftentimes they already know each other and have a vibe or an energy to each other and everything. So it's actually a really good pairing. This isn't always the case. Sometimes you have a cat already at home and you bring one in. That can be you got to feel that out.
Good point.
Something like this, they already know each other and oftentimes are already friendly with each other. So bringing that, it's a really good way to do that if you're looking for the two cats or something.
A lot of it is from the same litter, like the kittens especially, because we have so many litters that came from feral. And, we do not take feral cats, but that's the adults. So when do have a litter, we will take the small kittens because they can be adapted to living in a house. You just teach them. And so a lot of those litters, you're right, they're together already, brother, sister, brother, brother. So they're naturally bonded already because they've been in that kennel for a little while.
There is no shortage of great animals on the list you can find at swchs.com. There of course are ones that stand out to me, but there are going to be ones that stand out to you out there and that stand out to this person and that person. I do want to recommend looking at the pictures at the very least for a bright smile today, but also to understand what Tim is talking about and how many animals are over there right now. Because it really sits in when you look through this list and you keep going and going and you're like, wow, there's a lot of animals there.
Exactly.
Which also makes us helps us remind you that we could always use items over there. It is always kitten season. So if you are picking up maybe food for your little cat or anything and maybe you want to grab some extra food or litter, you can always drop that off. Could always use those things.
Oh, definitely. And the community is just so wonderful. When we run short of something like... litter especially. We go through a lot of cat litter. And, it's not like it's the most expensive item, but it does come at a cost. So we get people come in, and I got to relate one story that pretty heartwarming. And this is not uncommon. Last week, Saturday, when I was working, a lady came in, and she had heard about all the commotion, you know, with the contract stuff. And she came and dropped off a $500 check.
Wow.
Personal check. Yes, for
wow.
Not a memorial, not anything. Oh. Just wanted, and that was her way. She said, I want to help.
Very good. Huh. Very good.
That, I mean, that's just is heartwarming.
Yeah. Means the world, yeah.
Yes.
Every once in a while you hear these things, and it makes you speechless. You know, I don't even know what to say, which is really tough when you talk for a living, but I mean, yeah, you're just speechless on that.
I don't think you have a problem, James.
thank you to her. Thank mm-hmm. you to this community. To that point, yes. Tim, I'm a big believer in silver linings in life and that they always exist. You just got to find them sometimes. And sometimes you got to hunt a little more than others, but mm-hmm. they're there.
Yes.
I think that, at least just from my perspective, one of the things that I think has come out of this in recent weeks and this South County Humane Society being in the news and that subject matter. I feel like one of the things that I have seen from this is the community showing the support and how much they care for this Humane Society. Them really stepping up. And while you are so right about this, when it comes to events or different items we need, random people all the time are adding things. This was one yes. where as a force, the community came forward. And community leaders and people that I respect, I know you do, and that came forward and said, hey, this is important to us. Listen to
yes.
us. We voted you into office to listen to us, not your opinions, ours. That's the job. It's not your opinion. Your opinion matters. It's not to say it doesn't. You're also a voter and also a taxpayer and all that. But it's not the only opinion. Our opinion is why you were voted into office. Listening to the people. To see the force of the community. We're not talking a couple of people or maybe one community member or community leader.
Yes.
Just an incredible amount of people coming forward with this one.
It's amazing. Were you listening to my speech? My last event? Tuesday, that is exactly what I said. This is not about the council or their individuals. You know, you can have a feeling, yes.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming, I believe, majority of people in this community wanted a contract with Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They believe in us. And, you know, there's so much more. I don't want to get into bad kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Some people in the council have their own personal opinion. And it's what I kept saying is it's cherry picking. It's not just the strays mm-hmm. that are at the animal shelter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the last resort.
Right.
Right, exactly.
And anyone who has called Humane Society and say, I lost my dog, I lost my cat, or I found this dog. That is about 2/3 of those cases are handled out on the street
mm-hmm.
before they even get to the shelter. The shelter is at the end when we have no option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And I had to tell the council that costs money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's true. Time, money, and James, you know, you went on there and you look, you can see animals, and
yep.
We have that lost and found,
mm-hmm.
and your pet, if you lose it, will go on there. Send us a picture. That it takes time, and as I said, I had the phone over 4th of July weekend. I fielded over 60 calls.
Yeah.
Because, wow. Well, that's
yeah.
When the
yeah.
fireworks go off, the animals get upset, especially mm-hmm. dogs, they run away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you are on that phone constant.
Well, and the numbers you can put out there are important, and they're noteworthy. They're all the more important when you think about, okay, what if it wasn't there?
Exactly. That's
how much,
the point.
How much more you would be costing your community? How much higher your taxes could be? All these other things and everything. There is an investment in life we make with certain things. We actually have something going on right now. We currently just not even a week away, days away from something opening up for it. It's the jail. This new jail has been talked about for 30 years, almost as long as I've been in this community. And people have kicked the can, kicked the can, kicked the can. And we're finally at the point where that we're going to be having a ribbon cutting for that over there. That is something that people could take pride in. Obviously, it's a jail, and I understand
yes.
the tone to that
I know
and everything.
What you mean. Yeah.
I know it better than most. But I'll say that this is involved. This is about safety. This is about lower taxes when it comes to not having to send inmates across to half the country have the state and everything.
Yes.
You don't have to do a lot of digging to realize, oh, this is a smart investment for my community. Yes, it costs money, because that's what investing is. It's difficult sometimes, but you have to choose. And I understand the need for wanting to cut corners or to save a buck or two somewhere else. I grew up poor. I get it better than most out there, and probably better than most of the people on most councils out there. But I also understand investing. And that's what this is. It's investing in your community. It's investing in the betterment of your community. And it's also keeping your community relevant. The biggest thing most communities are trying to do, from ours to the biggest city in the world, keep people. Bring people in. You're not doing that. You're not doing that without a humane society. You're not doing that without a new jail. You're not doing that without certain nice roads, certain things.
It's
they take an investment. They take an investment.
Yes.
It's important. And just as important as our humane society and every single one of these cool pets on here. I just want to look at the pets, you guys. Can you guys talk for a little bit?
Because he does this every time, eh, Seth?
I had a point I was going to wrap up on, and then I saw a tow truck.
No, that was it.
Did you guys see tow truck? Look at that. That tow truck. That face.
Yeah, I'm not sure where a lot of these names are coming from.
I love the name of tow truck for a cat. I love
that's
it.
Really good.
Boy,
there's a lot of great ones on there.
I want to get that last point for what you said. It was very ironic that I actually told, after the vote, I told the council members, I said, it is ironic that by all the turmoil and everything with the not voting, with this, with that, or, you know, no contract, it did solidify the community. I mean, the calls we had, the support, the everything, the people calling their alderperson and, you know, expressing their views, the donations skyrocketed again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the wellness of the community also is what counts.
Yeah.
And you're right, Gene. That it's like I hate to use cliches, but a bonding.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
And it shows you the people, they want their humane society.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed big time.
We appreciate you and the team over there. Find out more about your Humane Society and how you can impact it by giving them a call, 715-423-0505. You can also email them at office@swchs.com, office@swchs.com. That's their website as well, swchs.com. Bookmark that. Take a look at all these amazing animals. It's also a great way to reach out and find out things that they might need and ways you can impact your Humane Society. Mm-hmm. Be sure to follow them on social media as well, everybody, and be listening every Thursday for an opportunity to hear our new Pet of the Week right here on WFHR. We're going to always do this as long as we can. I always love sponsors to jump on this one, though, and not many things that you can get more bang for your buck if you're a business out there than attaching yourself to this segment. Encourage you to call 424-1300 and get in touch with our sales team. Tim, thank you so much for the time, man.
No, thank you, guys. Have a nice cold day.
You too. You too. Stay safe out there. We appreciate you. We'll be back with more show coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good boy, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Santa baby. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Me first.
To the gimme gimmies.
I haven't heard them in so long, man. Took me a minute. We are in the season around here, and we're into entertainment, but I do want to real quickly go back to our past segment with the Pet of the Week and Tim, and thank him and our friends over there at the Suffolk County Humane Society. Keep in mind, everybody, they're doing some construction over there, doing some work. Their front door is not necessarily accessible right now.
Right.
Want to call ahead, find out how to get into the building or anything like that, encourage you to do so. And again, find out more at swchs.com and to reach out to them as well. A big thank you to them and all the work they do. So let's dive into some entertainment news, Seth. And whether you're a Bob Dylan fan or not, you are going to probably be impressed by Timothée Chalamet. He took his starring role as Dylan in the upcoming biopic, A Complete Unknown, to a very different level.
Okay.
The producer of the film said that Timothy learned and performed 40 Dylan songs.
Whoa!
Quote, on guitar, on harmonica, and singing live. Take after take after take. Just nailed it.
Wow.
Timothy says, quote, "It was important for me to sing and play live because if I can actually do it, why should there be an element of artificial there? And I'm proud that we could take that leap." Mm-hmm. He talks very much about, you know, working with people about this and singing coaches and a lot of that. He's not a natural singer. So it was
neither is Bob Dylan. So that's okay. That's all right, Tim. You're fine.
We need a slow clap kind of thing here. That was good. That was good. I have not seen the movie. I've only seen the trailers. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, this is an Oscar nod. This kid's going to get an Oscar nod
I can almost guarantee that, yes.
I'm not even a big Dylan guy, but I cannot wait to see this because of his performance. Because I am a big Timothée Chalamet fan.
Yes,
I'm a very big fan of his. I love when we get the chance to be able to see these careers building. Mm-hmm. And going to where they could be. I didn't get to live and see Paul Newman's whole career, but I got to see the tail end of it. And it's I bring up Paul Newman because he's on a similar arc. Mm. He's on a very similar path of being one of those like just bona fide actors that you see his name on there and like, well, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, whether the movie's good or not or anything, you know his performance is going to be good. Paul Newman was every movie he did wasn't great, but his performance sure was. You never saw him take a moment off. Yeah.
He's turning into one of those rare things that not only are they like the best at their craft, they're also extremely popular. And can you know, just by, like you said, just by having their name on the marquee, people are like, oh, well, I'd go see that because he's in it, and I really like him.
And for right now, feet on the ground. Like, he's still taking his mom to award ceremonies and things. He was on College Game Day last week.
I was going
to
say.
And he killed it.
Even more impressive than... He like knows ball. It's
he
like,
knows
whoa.
Ball, man. He's a huge sports fan. I had no idea. I thought I knew everything about the guy. He's a big Knicks guy and all this. And he went on there and he was running game on those guys. Like, he knew his stuff.
He did. Like small schools and things, like college. He knows his college football. It was very, very cool. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. One of those things, too, where I'm also just holding my fists together, like, oh, just be good. Just please don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. No trashing a hotel room or any of those things.
No.
Just be cool, man. Yeah. Just be cool. Act like Bob Dylan. You don't have to be Bob Dylan. Yeah, that's right. It does look like this is, I don't know if he's going to win or anything like that. Who knows about any of that stuff?
Yeah, who knows?
But, I mean, he's getting a nod. He's getting a nod for this one.
Yeah.
And then there's Javier Bardem, who has won an Oscar, I believe.
Yes, he has.
An incredible actor.
Yep.
Cape Fear has already been two really awesome movies. First in 62 with Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum. And then in 91, of course, with De Niro and Nick Nolte. Mm-hmm. One of the weirdest castings of Nick Nolte in that role, though. I don't know. I never understood that. But
there was a time when Nick Nolte could basically open a movie, man.
True, very true.
Back in the early 90s, he was a commodity.
I hear you there. I just didn't understand him in that role. But I get it. I get it. Right. I will say, as weird as that is, De Niro is, I didn't know he could do creepy until that role.
Frightening.
Whew.
He is frightening in that movie.
What does it say that his character of Taxi Driver isn't even as weird as that guy?
No.
Isn't even as scary as that guy, yeah. And now it's being turned into a TV series for Apple TV Plus.
Wow.
With Javier Bardem playing the psychotic Max Caddy.
Well, that's almost typecasting. He's played psychotics before, and he's very good at it, but...
It'll be a 10-episode series produced by Martin Scorsese, who, of course, directed the 91 movie, and Steven Spielberg. You have Spielberg and Scorsese coming together, and it's for this?
Have they ever collaborated before?
I don't believe so. I know that they have communicated. They've talked for a lot of years.
I don't know if they're friends, but I mean, they came up in the same time, you know, in Hollywood. Very different type of directors, but they obviously know each other, so yeah.
I know that because I've heard them both talk about the other, that there's a respect there,
but I'm sure.
I don't know anything beyond that.
Yeah.
I will say, and I have no right to say this or do this, as somebody who would give anything to work with either one of those individuals. For the Spielberg, Scorsese coming together for a remake of Cape Fear. Like, oh, like,
come on.
Like,
come on, guys. It's like, both movies are really good, by the way, which doesn't always happen with remakes. I mean, they're good for different reasons because the first one in the 62, Robert Mitchum is not playing. I mean, he's creepy and stuff, but he's not. It's more. It's a different feel than the terrifying, you know, Robert De Niro. But yeah,
I don't get to say this very often, and I won't say this very often about Robert De Niro because he's one of my favorites, and certainly in my family, you just don't talk badly about that man. Robert Mitchum's the performance. Like De Niro's is good. It's very good, but it's a different actor that can do what Mitchum does in that. Where he's not. De Niro's trying to be annoying, trying to be creepy in that role. Mitchum isn't, but he is. Because that's the way to do it.
There's a force there, man.
Yes, yes. Just with his presence and the way he does that role.
The milk scene in that's one of the freakiest. Yeah. It's terrifying. Anyway.
Useless trivia. Cape Fear was adapted from the 57 novel The Executioners by John D. MacDonald.
Oh, a very good hard-boiled detective writer, John MacDonald was.
Also, at least they're not turning it into a movie. At least, you know, a TV show, at least it's something different. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you stretch that out, but they must have figured it out. Maybe.
They can stretch out anything, my man. Yeah, you know that.
That's true.
Not that it's good. It's just they can do it.
And the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been less than awesome since they took out Iron Man with Tony Stark and all that, which is why they have bringing him back, in part. But Robert Downey Jr. has decided to come back to play Dr. Doom in the next two Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. That's been out there right now.
Yep.
Here's how important it was for Marvel to get him back. They basically drove the contents of Fort Knox up to his door.
Of course they did.
Variety says that Anthony and Joe Russo are making $80 million to direct the movies, and Downey is making, quote, more. Yeah. Yeah. He's also getting a lot of perks out of it as well. Downey has made, not just him, but his production company has been built on Iron Man.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it really has.
It's been the role that basically created.
Yeah. I think that's awesome, and I think it's great. It's great to me in part because, one, I am a fan of him and his story, but also because he's a dang good actor. He's
one of those good actors, man. Just won an Oscar. I mean, come on.
I've never seen a bad performance of Robert Downey Jr., and that's including Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Yeah, I went there. I went deep cut.
He's a pro. We were talking about, you know, Timothée Chalamet. He's one of those guys. Not only is he like one of the best at the business, he's also very popular.
Yeah.
So
something else that is very, very popular and only getting more and more popular, the WFHR newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new edition coming out in just hours from now.
That's
everybody.
Right. Sign up now.
Every Thursday at noon in your email box will go right to your email box, Central Wisconsin News.
Mm-hmm.
Local Central Wisconsin News, right to your email box. Nobody is doing the type of reporting we're doing.
Nope.
We've got, of course, I would say EP of this, Melissa Kay, and heard the work she's doing.
Yep.
Chuck and Laura have added some great work over the time. We've had Terry Barr bring in stuff. And, of course, we have our sports coverage from Michael Comer that he's been doing an amazing job on. It's all right there for you. We got a brand new edition lined up. Now, you don't have to have read the previous editions to get this one.
No.
You don't have to do that. But we encourage
it's not serial.
We encourage you to, though. And we encourage you to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Just go to WFHR.com, sign up, and be waiting for it in your email box.
In your email box.
I don't know what that was.
So they used to call it back in the day when they first said, "What is this electronic mail you're talking about?"
I'm trying to open the box. And of course, it is go time for our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Just three more shows of White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
One of them tonight, everybody.
Yep.
Meet them back there. Greet them back to the WRCT stage.
Yep.
Get your tickets for this show, 7 o'clock show tonight and tomorrow night. Wrapping things up on Saturday with a 2 o'clock matinee.
Yes.
Have heard nothing but great things about this show.
Great.
Word of mouth has spread, so if you can get tickets, get them now.
I would go immediately to wrctheater.org and get you and see what's available. Yep.
Get those tickets and meet us there for Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Again, tonight at 7, tomorrow at 7, and a 2 o'clock matinee on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Do want to remind everybody that the next auditions for Arsenic and Old Lace are coming up December 16th and 17th, next Monday and Tuesday, 6:30 to 8:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium.
Might see a few people there.
Yeah.
You might know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You might see a few people there.
I encourage you to fill out the audition sheet. It saves a little time.
It does. And, yeah. It's very cool.
And I think for those that haven't auditioned before, if you do that, you can really focus on just getting comfortable in this setting and all that. It's one thing to just get out of the way and then you can just go there and focus on that, you know, having fun and interacting and talking with people and all that. And also keep in mind our friends at WRCT have their Children's Theater Christmas program, the first ever one, coming up December 20th.
Yeah. That's going to be be a lot of fun.
Get your tickets for that and have some fun at WRCTheater.org, WRCTheater.org, and break a leg. Have a great rest of the run to the cast of White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
WRCTheater.org. Get those tickets. We're going to go to a news break and come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. One of the quintessential voices of Christmas.
Oh, he is Christmas for me, man. We had two Andy Williams Christmas records that we listened to when I was a kid. So nice. He is all about, yep, that's what I think of. It's Christmas.
I will tease this right now. I'd like to get into it with you guys tomorrow, but I did have one put aside for us of the what is your quintessential Christmas voice?
Oh,
what is your that's the voice? You know, we've talked about this a bit, especially yep. since we've had our bumpers this week. You've got Burl Ives and Andy Williams, Johnny Mathis,
Bing Crosby.
Yep. You gotta mention mm-hmm. Bing Nat King Cole.
Yep,
there's a lot of them. Even modern, even younger people. People out there listening yep. and everything.
Mariah Carey, maybe.
Yeah. So we're going to keep the phone lines open, and I want to hear what is your quintessential Christmas voice.
Yeah.
You can, for extra credit, you could, of course, add a Christmas song. Do that if you want. And win some River King tickets. How about that? We'll give some River Kings tickets out.
I always got something for you.
Because we know how good our listeners are. We know mm-hmm. you're good at that. And what are some things you're good at? Everybody has something that they are great at, even if it's something that's hard to earn a living from or something. I believe that if you put me and Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons,
okay,
and you had us face off in a mm-hmm. like a quiz show kind of format or anything, I think I could beat him.
You could. I can almost guarantee you would be able to
really
beat him.
I really feel like I could beat him. Yep. Like I can't make a living off of that. I've tried. but it's something I feel
to
like
be a Simpsons
at.
Scholar.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Not a call for that for some reason. I'm not sure why.
A lot of colleges have these weird categories nowadays and everything. They don't have Simpson that studies? One yet. Still don't have that one yet. I'm waiting for it out of Springfield U.
There you go.
Let's take a call. Good morning on the show.
Well, you guys have missed the mark on quintessential songs.
Uh-oh.
You guys forgot about Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, nice.
Alvin!
Yes.
I still want a hula hoop.
That's a good one. That's a good one. A great run. you can't. I was talking to my nephews about this when they were by for Thanksgiving, and my sister was looking at Christmas songs and everything, and they immediately got excited about Alvin and the Chipmunks. And there was we just look at each other like it was like when we were little kids.
Yep.
It's really cool that those songs that music is still
relevant. Around.
The Chipmunks
yep.
are still relevant. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is, and it's kind of cool that the younger kids still get it. Like, actually, on the more experienced note with the singers and stuff, there's all. I mean, obviously, you named them pretty much all, especially. I mean, obviously, me growing up with my grandparents, my mom, and stuff. You know, Andy Williams, Burl Ives, all those bad people. Those, I mean, when you hear those songs, I mean, it's Christmas. I mean,
yep.
it's everything they do, and. Yeah, I'm sure there are a few, newer people out there, I mean, Dolly Parton and some of her Christmas songs that she sings. Christmas songs are Christmas songs. Sometimes you can listen to them all year round if you want to.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are people that we know, Terry, that do that. No, I don't know. she's gonna hit me.
It's a good thing you're not seeing her for a while.
It's a great note, and it's also I think a kind of I wonder how much of this too is so soaked in nostalgia for us mm-hmm. hearing these songs.
I'm
not saying they're not good songs or anything, mm-hmm. but I think that there's that added part to it. We know this with music. We've talked about it before, where that music, the first music you picked out, the first time you got to go out and buy an album or a CD or a tape or whatever it might have been, the rest of your life, when that stuff pops up on the radio or something like that, boom, you are brought back to that age. Mm-hmm. I think Christmas music does that a lot, too.
Well, it is. I mean, you can only go outside, and I'm sure you're probably going to talk about this next week or two, but are the Christmas movies, the older Christmas movies.
Yep.
Obviously, the community group right now is doing White Christmas, but when it comes on TV, or even my kids actually got it for me for Christmas one year, is the White Christmas DVD. That's one of the the essential ones. And obviously, the big argument between Die Hard movies, if it's a Christmas movie or not, and all that. But, and then I have to put my kids through it on Christmas Eve. They have to suffer through it, but it's the Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas.
Yes.
You gotta watch it every Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't like it, but I do.
I
love it.
Last Christmas, Bria and I, for What the Muppet, our podcast, we met up with the Puppet Masters of None, another podcast, and we went over that one. And I hadn't watched it in probably two decades. And I was just blown away by, I don't know if how good it is or not. I wasn't a little kid watching it again. I know as a little kid, I really loved it. Mm-hmm. But I was incredibly blown away by how good that was. That show completely changed puppeteering. It was a whole
That's amazing.
Different. The puppeteering was never the same after that. It was the first one where they used electronics, like devices, like and everything, to make the puppets move.
Yeah, yeah, remote control, right? Yeah,
they built a little like river basically in the studio for it, so that they couldn't. There was no other way to get these puppets out. That you couldn't put them in the real river or anything like that. So it's an actual body of water that you see on the. It's incredible what they did at the time that they did it and everything.
That's amazing.
And an incredible part. It's a note to studios as well. When you take a chance and what can happen, what that springboarded for Henson and all that. And
absolutely.
Everything. I don't care what anybody says. It holds up. It holds up. I love it. I love it. That's a good one, man. Good cut. And good to hear from you as always. Safe travels out there, Kev.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. 424-2600. Feel free to call up. Let us know. Anything. It doesn't have to be your favorite Christmas voice. You want to mention your favorite Christmas movie or...
Can we just get off the Die Hard thing, please? Okay. If you like it and you want it to be a Christmas movie, that's fine. And then if not, that's fine. Come on. I'm getting tired of this.
To me, if you think it's a Christmas movie, cool. Yeah. If you don't, cool.
Cool.
The only issue I have with it is when people try to like get on this is the hill they're gonna die.
It's a Christmas movie. Yeah,
well, okay, all right, cool, but all right, it's all yours.
Calm down.
Maybe you watched it too much. you might think you're John McCain here.
Let's calm it down.
It's one of the sillier things to me, just because who is to say, what are you gonna do? Like somebody's sitting in their room watching it on Christmas Eve.
Turn that off.
Hey, what are
Turn
you doing?
That off. Yeah.
Good morning, you're on the show.
Good morning, James.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. How can we help you today?
Hey, you're talking about voices synonymous with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my pick would have to be Nat King Cole.
That's a good one.
Oh, you're so right. Yes.
I had that album, too, that I listened to a lot when I was a kid.
I have to say that's my choice, too.
Yep.
Especially with, it's the most consistent one with both sides of my family and my mother when I was a kid and everything. Mm-hmm. Always had Nat King Cole this time.
Love it.
It's a good choice.
Sure. And Andy Williams and Johnny Mathis. I mean, those three, the trio, those three are, I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm totally with you.
As far as a favorite movie of mine for Christmas is, of course, It's a Wonderful Life. But I've also really gotten to enjoy A Christmas Carol, the one with Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yes. So good.
That's a little different. I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, you're talking about things that people are good at, and I like radio. I wish I could find a job.
Well, you never know. You never know. You got a good voice for it, tell you that.
Yeah, there you go.
And appreciate you calling up and listening, man. Thanks a lot for the feedback. We appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks. Listen to you guys quite a lot.
All right, cool. That. Very nice.
Have a great day out there.
Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Good Christmas to you. Happy New Year's and everybody out there. And a great call. Great call.
That was perfect. That's what we want, man.
You did too good, man. You're going to have to call back. You're going to have to call back sometime. Those are great ones.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting into this a little bit about things that we're good at, but maybe can't make a living at.
Right.
Like radio. It used to be that way. It used to be that way for some of us.
Yeah, right.
Someone on social media asked this question, and taking a look at the list here, and this is one of those ones we'll keep open. This is an open topic. We'll keep this one. I don't care if it's 2 weeks from now and you want to call in about it. I think this is a fun topic.
Right.
Things that we're good at, but necessarily can't make a living at or something. It's like you're on Jeopardy, and there's that one category that you could really nail, but you're not that good at all any of the others.
Right.
Reading upside down or backwards from the wrong side of the paper.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one, man. I've never been able to do that.
Always knowing what time it is, with or without a clock.
I'm pretty good at that one.
Yeah, you seem to be.
I have a good sense of time. I do. I'll give myself that.
Scratching a dog in a way where it does that leg thing.
Wait, that's a talent? I thought it was just finding the spot on the dog.
If it is, I'm pretty good at that
one. Oh, okay.
I'm pretty good at that one.
Yeah, there you go.
That one I'm pretty good at. Remembering obscure movie quotes. Thank you.
Oh, I think both on that one, dude.
Yes, you and I, we
are very good on
that
one.
Catching things I drop like keys before they hit the ground. I can do it every time. That one I'm very good at, but only when nobody's watching.
I can't do it every time, but I'm okay with, you know, catching the drop thing before it hits the floor.
I'll have one of those highlight reel plays where the keys are flying all over and I actually catch
knocking
it
up and then grab
and nobody sees it. Nobody
fall through the window and no.
And tell me we don't all do this when that happens. Look around. Did anybody see that? Please tell me somebody saw that.
Please tell me
somebody saw that. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, one of my favorite Christmas movies was All Mine to Give. I just love that movie. It takes place in Wisconsin in the 19th century, and the boy, he's probably about 13 or 14, and has to give away all of his brothers and sisters.
Oh.
And his parents died.
You know, sir, I have enjoyed you calling for many years, but right now you just gave me a great moment. This was one of my Nana's favorites.
Really?
And
that's cool.
She enjoyed this. And I haven't thought about this one in a long time. I have to go and watch that one again. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up and for calling in, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right.
Appreciate that.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, that got me, you guys. That got me. It's. I don't remember much of it, to be honest, but I do remember Nada. Every Christmas had to have this one played. You can catch it on Apple TV, Apple Plus.
Yep.
You can find it there. Rex Thompson's in it, Patty McCormick, but not a huge cast necessarily of stars.
What year is that from? Does it have it there?
This is, from, let me see. I know it does. I just got to click on it.
I'm just really curious about when it was made.
Yeah. 1957.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, it's a vintage one.
Yeah.
Hey, that might send people down a little thing there to see this movie, because I don't know if a lot of people know about that one.
Oh, that's great.
I was thinking of all the things, all the Christmas things we could have people call in. You know, that one caller made me think about, what's your favorite Christmas carol? Because that has been filmed so many times over the years, and everyone has their favorite. I know, like my wife, Beth, is the Muppet Christmas Carol, 100% loves that one. My favorite is actually the made-for-TV one that had George C. Scott from the 1980s. That one's actually probably one of the actual scarier ones out there.
Yes.
That one's got some pretty freaky moments in it.
Especially for TV. I remember being a kid and seeing that. And seeing Patton. You know,
as Scrooge, right? Yeah.
With my grandfather, I watched Patton like a bunch with him. So that's all I saw in that role is Patton basically is Ebenezer. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And the caller bringing up the Sir Patrick Stewart one is a really good one, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I ever want my daughter to talk to me again, it's the Muppet Christmas Carol. It's that one. It's the only one. And Beth, if I want Beth to talk to me.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, come on, Michael Caine. He's so good in that.
Interestingly, Michael Caine and Tim Curry, for their roles when they worked with Muppets, both of them decided that they were going to treat the Muppets as fellow actors,
right?
And treat it with handle it completely 100% serious.
That's what I've been told, that that's the way you're supposed to do it, actually, because it's hard not to look at like the puppeteer, you know, but you're supposed to have eye contact with the puppets. So
an interesting note about that, real quick. Michael Caine treats the Muppets as fellow actors, and Tim Curry treats himself as a fellow Muppet. And that was the difference. That's the only difference, really, with it. But otherwise, very serious, you know.
Tim Curry kind of is a Muppet, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much.
Oh, yeah. Finding things in a messy drawer, finding parking. These are some other things that we're going to
Oh, Beth. Mm. Beth is awesome. She always gets the rock star park. I don't know how she does it.
Oh, yeah.
We pull into a parking lot, and all of a sudden, there's a space there right on the front. Man, I don't know what it is.
There's around here we've got a number of these. I think Pam is, and this is hard for me to say because I always thought it was my mother, but it turns out it's another Pam. Pam is the greatest card finder ever. If she can find the perfect birthday, Christmas, yep. anniversary
She's
card,
amazing.
It doesn't matter. It's always the perfect one.
Yep.
You could put me in the building of Hallmark and give me a year to find it, and I wouldn't
and
come close.
He would not.
Pam's great at Laura, any hat. Any hat she can wear and looks good on it. You put literally any hat on her, and somehow she pulls it off. I don't know how. We got a lot of people around here that just are really good at a lot
Can't
of different
things.
Can't
make a dime off any of this stuff. But, hey, it's fun to have.
And,
you know.
And thankfully, we found radio.
Yeah. That's where all the misfits go.
Yes, we are the Island of Misfit Toys. We will be back with more show here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Had to do it.
Yep.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
It cuts off on my favorite part.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You can only do what you can. Bumpers, with it, but.
You know, I just gave Mel Torme's estate a couple bucks there with some royalty payments.
That's so cool. How cool is that? That's a Torme song.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And we appreciate all the calls today. You guys are the stars of the show today.
Fabulous.
A lot of calls, and appreciate every single one of them. Thank you so much, everybody. We have some local and some studio or some schedule things we want to touch on here. I did want to remind everybody that Civic Media's statewide grown-up gift list contest is going on. Text to win contest is happening. Be listening at the top of the 11 a.m. hour in just a little bit when Jane and Greg will give you the keyword to text to us. Then at 1 and 4 today. We're doing this right through the 20th.
Yes.
So every 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 1 and 4 o'clock hours, we're going to give you a keyword. Text it to us and you can win some cash or overnight stay at Chula Vista Resorts or maybe one of our grown-up gifts.
That's right. Any Civic Media station, you can check it out.
And, you know, help us get some bragging rights around here and everything.
We have gotten a lot, I think, so far from both of our stations, but we want more, guys.
Oh, yes.
We want to get up in the stratosphere here.
Go ahead and hit us up on the Civic Media app when we give you that keyword, everybody. And thanks so much to everybody who's downloaded the app and that is playing along.
Yeah.
Tonight, we got a great one lined up for you with Community Stories Jr. Be sure to check that out,
that's
everybody.
That's right, yes.
It's going to be a good one from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for that. And right before that, we'll have Midday Magazine. We've got a couple of great guests in for Midday Magazine. In part one, we're going to welcome in Chad Schooley. We're going to talk with our friends from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department.
Ooh, very nice.
Got them coming in. And in part two, Janelle Weir, our horticultural educator. Looking forward to talking with Janelle. Always a great conversation with her. And a little bit later, we got the Greg Gard Show tonight at 6:05 right here on WFHR. Be sure to join us for that. The Wisconsin Badgers head basketball coach got some explaining to do. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
Yep.
A three-game slide here after starting out so strong. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say with that one. We've got some other great things going on in our area. Like our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today at 2321 West Grand Avenue here in Wisconsin Rapids. Meals are served from 4:30 to 5:45. Their dining area opens at 4:15. Building itself opens at 4. Spread the word about this one.
Yes.
Any family out there that might need this, we want them to know about the community meals available every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
With our friends at Focus at 2321 West Grand Avenue. Got some great concerts going on tonight at Rams. The 6th, 7th, and 8th graders have their orchestra concert happening at 6 over at Rams. Be sure to check that out, everybody. That's going to be fun. And, of course, Boogie and Yo-Yo is performing tonight over at the PAC. And they're going to have the Assumption High School Choir with them.
That is so cool. I love it when they do that.
We got to give away our last set of tickets for Boogie and Yo-Yo's on the Sunrise Show. Check them out. Get your tickets for the show at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. Or just go ahead and show up and get your tickets right there.
Local legends.
Yes, yes. Love Boogie and Yo-Yo's. They're an amazing band. And, Seth, we had some other things to touch on.
We do. Of course, the Winter Farmers Market's coming up on Saturday from 9 to 1 over at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. They have a special guest this week, everyone. Santa!
Santa!
Santa is going to be
Santa!
There. from 9 to 1. Come bring your phone, bring your camera, get some pictures with him and Mrs. Claus. They're going to be there and to take your orders for Christmas. They're not orders, they're lists, I guess. They're not really orders. That sounds like, it's like, Santa, you need to give me this. No, you ask him nicely, remember?
Yes. So I learned that the hard way.
that's why James never gets to see Santa. When he was here the other day helping us out, you know, with some stuff, James not here because he's like, he wouldn't show up with James here. So I don't know what you did, man. I don't know what you did.
I played him. My first role ever, I played Santa Claus, and I did it as an Italian. And it just never, didn't go over very
just
well.
Just didn't go over very well.
Yeah. So you want some gifts, huh?
Specific kind of Italian.
Yeah.
From 9 to 1, that's Saturday at the Winter's Farmers Market in Wisconsin Rapids. Santa will be there.
Mm-hmm. Some other stuff wanted to make sure to touch on, Seth.
Yeah, we also have the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Humanism. Let's say that. Grace is having their Blue Christmas Worship Service coming up on Thursday, December 19th at 6 p.m. This is going to be hosted at the St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church at 320 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. All, of course, are welcome. The holiday season can be hard for many, especially those who mourn. Join them for a time of worship as they reflect, celebrate, and find hope. Once again, that's Thursday, December 19th at 6 p.m. over at St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church.
Talk more about this tomorrow, but flag folding and honor rendering training happening over at our VFW, Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall, VFW Post 2534, 2711 Redden Road. That'll be going on tomorrow, 11 to 1. Be sure to check that out, everybody, and attend if you can. I greatly appreciate those that can.
Yes.
And we got a lot of great stuff going on this weekend here at the studios.
We do,
We got some great programming this weekend we're going to get into. I got an Xmas episode of Unlabeled for
you, everybody.
Yes,
the first one.
Yeah.
It's got two.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Melissa, Seth, and I will get you ready for the weekend tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Be good to each other, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.